Welcome to the podcast for Sound the Trumpet, How to Blow Your Own Horn, written by Jonathan Harnum and read by me, John Harnum. Thanks for listening. You can learn more about this book and my other books at allabouttrumpet.com. There you'll also find free video lessons, a whole bunch of free PDFs with scales and lesson plans and lesson tracking and all kinds of other stuff. There are also some free MP3s related to this book. And there's also a store for many things trumpet related, including more method books, recordings, all kinds of gear for playing. So go have a visit. There's lots of free stuff there. And if you're asked for a password, password from one of my other books, the password is Lewis, as in Lewis Armstrong. We'll see you online. This podcast covers Chapter 5, Fast Fingers. Success is following the pattern of life one enjoys most. Al Capp, 1909 to 1979. This chapter covers finger technique, hand positions, changing notes, and some finger exercises. Some terms to know: dexterity, skill and ease in using the hands. Metronome, your best friend. It will keep your sense of timing sharp and precise. Buy one. Use it. To learn more, see how to use the metronome on page 76 and metronome, your rhythmic best friend, on page 221. 16th notes. 4 notes per beat, foot tap, or metronome click. The count in 4-4 time is 1E and a 2E and a 3E and a 4E and a. Finger technique. Believe it or not, there are actually correct and beneficial ways to use your fingers on the trumpet. You already know how to hold the horn, so that part is already taken care of. What we'll be dealing with in this chapter is moving from one note to the next, finger patterns, and finger exercises to get your fingers more nimble. As with every other aspect of the trumpet, the key to fast fingers is staying relaxed. The looser you are, the faster you'll be able to go. The practice of staying relaxed is something you'll monitor for as long as you play the horn. Always check in with your posture, your level of relaxation, and be sure you stay upright and loose. There are a few left-hand techniques you should be aware of, but most of what we'll cover happens in the right hand, so we'll start there. If you happen to be one of those rare individuals who works the vowels with your left hand, like Buddy Bolden, the first jazz musician, then apply what follows to the correct hand. The right hand. To refresh your memory, the right hand thumb should rest between the valley of the first and second vowels, just under the lead pipe, or underneath and pointing back along the lead pipe, like jazz trumpeter Brian Lynch. The pinky finger rests on top of the finger ring, not in it. This is because that finger ring is very easy to pull on, and this will hamper finger speed, hurt your sound, and probably your face too. Fingers are curved like you're holding a tennis ball, and there's a picture that shows that. Changing notes. The thing to remember is that you must practice these movements very slowly at first so your body learns them correctly. Start slowly and monitor your performance so you know each finger is perfect, then gradually speed up as fast as you can. Keep your fingering clean and correct at all speeds. Use a metronome. This is so important. You want that rhythm in your fingers, and the best way to do this is to practice finger patterns with a metronome. Whether you're just doing the patterns without the horn, playing scale patterns, or playing music, practice with the metronome so that you know your rhythm is perfect. This will help your finger accuracy more than anything else you could do. To learn more, flip ahead to how to use the metronome on page 76. There's been a little bit of debate about this on a blog that I like to follow. It's Dave Douglas's blog. He has Greenleaf Music. Dave Douglas is a fantastic jazz trumpet player. If you don't know of him, you should definitely check him out. The debate about using the metronome, there are people who believe strongly that you should, and others who believe equally strongly that you shouldn't, that you don't need to. The arguments for using the metronome are pretty clear, and that's what's in this book, is that belief. But a lot of people say that music, you know, the live, real thing that you're doing, isn't always metronomic in its nature. It fluxes, it moves, you know, you react to the rhythm. But Anyway, to learn more, go check out Dave Douglas's blog, and you can see firsthand what some very serious professional musicians think about this issue. But for this, I use it. I believe in it. I think it works really well. So anyway, that's where I stand. But I see the other side, too. So two paragraphs ago, I said practice slowly. This means slowly from one note to the next. However, the valve motion itself should be as fast as possible. Pound the valve down while you keep the air moving. This allows for a smooth transition from one note to another. It's especially important to slam your valves when you're playing a slow song. Because the music is slow, you'll want to move your valve slowly too, but don't give in to the temptation. If you move your valve slowly, you won't get a clean change between notes. If your air is moving and you pound down the valves, your note changes will be clean and clear and beautiful. If you move your valves slowly, you'll get another interesting effect we'll talk about in chapter 15. When fingering notes which use more than one valve, be sure to press all the valves down at the same time. This will help you avoid chipped or missed notes, also known as cacks or clams. Keep your fingertips on the valve buttons even when they're not pressing down on a valve. Look at the picture on the previous page to see where your finger should be all the time. This is a difficult technique to achieve when playing fast, and especially when using only the first two valves. Keep that third finger down on the button if you can. The closer your fingers are to the valve, the quicker they can react. If your fingers are high above the valve buttons, it will take more time to react and push the valve down. Also, if your fingers are flat across the valves, your fingers don't work quite as quickly in this position. A lot of players do that way, and again, some people change back and forth between being correct and being more loose and relaxed. But basically, I'm trying to give you the perfect technique. So, you know, if you're new to this, start out doing it perfectly, and then, you know, take it wherever you want to take it, where it needs to go for you. So the left hand. The main thing to remember about the left hand is to keep it loose and relaxed. Try not to grip the valve casing tightly because eventually you'll need your ring finger and thumb to work the slides, and that will be difficult if your hand is tense. So just let the horn rest on your hand or in your hand. We'll get to that later. You're not so much holding the horn with your left hand as you are just letting the trumpet rest in your hand, so don't squeeze it. Exercises for accuracy and speed. These patterns can be done anywhere. Try tapping out finger patterns on the pad of your thumb. Curl your fingers and practice fingers on a flat surface like a tabletop. Or hold a pencil with your left hand and put your right thumb underneath the pencil and do fingerings on top of the pencil. If you're really ambitious, you can find a junker trumpet and use a hacksaw to cut off the valve casings so you have a portable set of valves to practice on. It's kind of fun to chop up a trumpet like that too. Otherwise, just practice on the horn itself. During your practice sessions, you'll have the horn off your face about as much as you have it on your face. When the horn is off your face, don't just sit there and stare at the wall. Use your time to practice fingerings. There are also times during rehearsals when the director is occupied with another section and the horn isn't on your face. While you're waiting, actively practice by doing your finger patterns. This is called mental practice, and it's something that research actually has shown to improve, dramatically to improve, your achievement on the instrument, you know, your ability to play. So do it. You won't regret it. So to make things neater, the exercises below use numbers for vowels instead of the graphic illustration. So 0 is open, 1 is first vowel, 2 is second vowel, 3 is third vowel, and then, of course, you have combinations there. So practice these patterns until they're memorized and you know exactly how fast you're able to go. You can, of course, use the metronome to do this. Start all exercises at a comfortably slow tempo, slow enough to do it exactly right, and progress from there. All exercises use the 16th note rhythm, 4 notes per beat. The plus symbol stands for and, so the count is 1 e-enda, 2 e-enda, 3 e-enda, 4 e-enda, depending on what meter you're in. If you're in 3-4, be 1 e-enda, 2 e-enda, 3 e-enda, 1 e-enda, 2 e-enda, 3 e-enda, etc. For more information about counting and written music in general, you can get a copy of one of my other books, Basic Music Theory, How to Read, Write, and Understand Music. You can find that at allabouttrumpet.com as well. I'll show you the details of the exercise first, and successive exercises will have only the fingerings, but the rhythm is the same. So always strive for perfection. Start slowly. Curve your fingers, check your hand position, dust off your metronome. Won't do you any good if it's in your case, or even worse, sitting in a music store somewhere waiting for you to buy it. If you don't have a metronome or don't use the one you have, ask yourself the question, how good do I want to be? Answer honestly. Now, you can find a bunch of metronomes for free online. So if you just enter free metronome or free digital metronome, you'll find a whole slew of options. That's another good way to do this. And in fact, if you have an iPhone, there's an app for that, clearly. There's an app for everything. A metronome will help you track your progress too. In the codicil of this book, and again, these are available for free, a free PDF at allabouttrumpet.com. In the codicil of this book is a chart you can use to monitor your exercises from day to day and week to week. It's important to know where you've been, where you are, and where you're going, and these can help with that. Plus, it's more efficient to start practicing at the exact tempo that you left off with instead of trying to find your fastest tempo all over again. Usually, actually, I found that my fastest tempo on the previous day, I can't quite do on the next day. So I have to back up, you know, a few metronome clicks until I work back up to my fastest tempo. So you're not going to be able to see these. Basically, you know, you can probably make these up on your own. The rhythm again is da 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 da, and I'm just changing the fingering for each of those da da. So da 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 da, and we start from simple and go to more complex. So, for example, the first one is just a single finger. So, and you're alternating between having the finger down and having it up or open. So, for the first finger, it's just down, up, 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 down, up. Now, most of us can do this pretty fast. So, digga, 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 digga. You know, that's pretty easy for most of us to do with just one finger. However, if you're doing this correctly, you want the other three fingers to rest on the top of the other valves. So, that makes it a little bit harder. Check it out. See how well you can do. The second one, there are more variations using two fingers. And then the third one, there's combinations, a whole bunch of different combinations. So you can do these fingerings dry, so without sound, just on your thumb, on a pencil, on valve casings, you know, on just your valves, just like I mentioned. But also do it while blowing the horn. You know, once you've memorized a bunch, you can do them anywhere, and they're great for improvising on or just messing around with. And you don't need to know any kind of written music to do this. Just, you know, mess around with these finger patterns. And for different variations, when actually playing these patterns on the horn, you can choose whether the pitch will go up or go down from the starting note. So even just with these patterns, you have a whole bunch of options for just making music and not having to actually read anything. So that's it for the chapter. Up next is breathing. Breathing is one of the most important skills that affect your sound and ability on trumpet. There are specific techniques that will help you get a great breath so your trumpet sound can be full and present and beautiful. Not only does correct breathing help your tone quality, but correct breathing will also help you play higher, softer, faster, and longer. So you can learn all about proper breathing technique in the next chapter. Thanks for listening. Remember that you can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes or on my blog. And again, you can reach those at allabouttrumpet.com. This work is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0. Have fun. Good luck with your practice.